You get one. Right. You get one. You're done on that.
I know that thing sounds loud. All right, yo, yo, everybody. Here we are. Another episode of the Mind Body Marathon, and we got the Goon Crew back.
Goon Crew.
That was uncoordinated. That was. Yeah. You guys all just did that. Dr. Matt.
Hello.
Dr. Leo and Dr. Jared.
Hi.
And Zach. Not Dr. Zach.
Zach. Zach.
Just Zach.
I'm fine with that.
So kind of another fun episode here, just a bunch of random topics and a bunch of entertainment. That's where we're about right now. I would say let's kind of hit it off with USA Champs.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
So Dr. Matt worked USA Indoor Champs on the USATF side of things. And that weekend I did not work because we were in Cancun.
Survived
the cartels.
Yeah, that's good.
I did get chased by a pack of wild dogs.
Rough. It's
which
rough
is really
down
cool because they just threw rocks and they went away. It was fine.
Standard.
That is good. The dogs. Yeah,
they were just letting me know they were there.
The dogs threw rocks.
Did you go on a run and that happened?
Yeah. So like within Cancun, we were way up on the peninsula, just kind of by Isla Mujeres. There's like a peninsula in the north part of the city. And so we were about maybe like a half hour north of the city, and the are you cramping right now? Is that what you're...
No, I just feel my nerve right now.
Okay.
I got you though.
But there was like all these like, so anytime you like do like you go to Cancun, you're like, oh, I'm gonna do like a AV excursion, you know, AV drive the AVs on the beach or whatever. Well, that's where they were doing it, is way up there. So they had all these like sandy dirt roads that were heading back into the forest, and it was about maybe 2 miles from, maybe a mile and a half from my resort. So I just ran back there, but there was like tons of stray dogs and stuff. And at one point it got really scary because I was running back and I see this vehicle like just churning out of the some of the side trails, and it looked, and I swear to God, it looked like something from Mad Max. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. Whoa. This is the cartels. And it had like spikes on the top. And it was like crazy looking. And it was this dune buggy that these guys had like souped up.
There was no guy on the front playing guitar.
Yeah, I know. It was, however, at Coco Bongo, I have a video of this. They do shows in between of the dancing and stuff. So like basically Coco Bongo is a famous dance club in Cancun. There's one in Punta Cana too. But there's only three of them, and they do like shows every half hour. So they have like a dancer come out, play like a Michael Jackson song, and do a coordinated dance. Or they did have this, they had one for Mad Max, and then they had a guitar guy come out and they had him hooked up to the bungee from the ceiling.
Oh my gosh.
It was pretty sick, actually.
That's pretty badass.
Anyways, how was USA?
Yeah, dude.
Not that cool. No, it was a really good experience. It was at Ocean Breeze. Staten Island.
Ocean Breeze.
Yeah,
sea wonderful. Breeze.
I was bummed I didn't get to run on the track. I was going to try and do one lap because I've never run on a green track before. But it was good.
It was banged, right?
What
did the athletes say about the surface? Did they like it?
They liked it. Right. I had a couple people say that they thought it was comparable to 400. And I don't know about that, but...
That's a weird statement.
Yeah, what does that even mean?
Yeah, like
I know it's two, but it's like
I felt
four.
Like I was on 400 well, track.
I guess from like the feeling of turning as much,
it was wider.
It didn't seem as wide of a turn or as narrow of a turn.
Oh yeah,
200 being banked. So
I know, dude. It's probably literally like running in a circle.
Actually, surprisingly, there was probably like three or four athletes that I treated that had never run on a bank track before.
Wow.
Which
I feel like Nebraska was like that when I was there in college, like because I'm pretty sure it was a bank 200, but it felt like a long or like a long bank 200.
Yeah,
so maybe it was like that.
It was very good though. We had a really good staff. I think there was 15 of us, mostly athletic trainers, but we had three chiros, three PTs, and then the rest were athletic trainers. We actually
massage.
We had one massage.
That's
like
it?
That was only solely massage. Everybody else was.
Dude, you guys are flushing like crazy then.
But it was the most that I've ever adjusted at an event like that. At literally every single athlete, every single time, wanted an adjustment.
See, that's huge. That's what people don't understand, man. Like you know, they watch TV and they see sporting events and stuff like that. It's like, dude, USA Track puts a heavy emphasis on chiropractic. And that is why I am a chiropractor.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally because of just, that's one of the secret sauces of USA Track. I mean, it's wild. Like, I don't think it's that way in USA Swimming. I don't think that's the way in USA Gymnastics. I don't think it's that way in most other sports. But like, USA Track understands the value of getting somebody aligned and getting their nervous system ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, I did my fair share of flushes, but at the same time, at the end, they were like, oh, can you adjust my hips? Even, I mean, there was a couple people that I adjusted probably two or three times and in the same day before they actually raced. Afterwards, you wouldn't really adjust them as, you know, as much.
Yeah. Just so everybody knows, a flush is like kind of like a quick massage that's like not like a full hour kind of a thing. And it's just meant to be like lighter, and you're just flushing out like lactic acid and tension within the muscle. And so, you know, it's just, it's it, when it's done in championship settings, you know, it really helps the athletes kind of just get ready for the next event, get ready for the next day without getting them sore. Like if they would have got like kind of a deep tissue massage sort of thing. We do flushes at events locally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then a lot of people are like, what's a flush?
And then when they get one, that's all they say. They're like, yeah, like, you know, you just like flush my legs out. Yeah.
It just sounds like the right thing to say.
Matt, how many patients did you have?
Total, I think I 62 people that I treated.
Wow. 10K. Yeah.
How many days was it?
Four.
4 days. Oh, yeah. About 15. Hmm. 15 a day?
Yeah.
15 and a half.
Yeah, I would say the one thing that was different.
In a quarter.
Wow.
Yeah.
One Zach's good at math.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
One thing that was different, it was
he's got his calculator out.
It was a really short meet. So we were only there from...
Like how tall?
time duration.
Don't discriminate, dude.
Dude, I knew that was a Jared. Dude was going to get Jared going. I mean, he was probably laughing because he was thinking it.
Yeah. How red his face is.
Yeah, the camera's actually picking up on that real well. But yeah, I mean, it only went from like 9:30 in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. And
dude, that is not going to be the U20 World Champs that I'm working. That is not it.
Where's that? Is that it, Eugene?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's going to be long, long days. 8 to 10. Yep.
So it was kind of nice. Unfortunately, we were in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing around where the track is or where our hotels were. So we couldn't really
get out. Staten Island's a desert, man.
Yeah.
It's like there's no culture. There's really not much to do. Yeah, it's definitely not like Brooklyn or Manhattan.
We did get some awesome Italian food, though.
It
was everything that you can imagine from like being in a movie. Like everyone in there was like white beaters and like chains.
What'd you eat? Chicken Parmesan?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Chicken Parm.
But yeah, it was amazing and super affordable. So
in this economy,
yeah.
Dude, you're running New York in a couple weeks, right?
Next week. Yeah, just gonna go out for a little.
Is that the United one?
Mm-hmm.
The actual main.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only race that runs through Times Square.
Right. You know, dude, I can't wait. We're staying in Times Square too.
Yeah. Times Square. It's a good place to stay, actually.
Yeah.
So if you guys ever run the New York Marathon or listen to that episode, like Times Square is just such an easy area. Mm-hmm. Even just a little bit of north of Times Square between Central and Time is like just easy to get to. I mean, like everything is just right there.
I think the best thing the thing I'm looking forward to most about this race, because like that's probably the biggest major marathon that I want to qualify for, is NYC. I just love New York City. Absolutely love it. And one of my patients is going out there. And so we're going to run together for a little bit. But she said this is her third time running it. And she's like, yeah, you like run towards Times Square and then you can start to hear the crowd. And then you just like go into this like tunnel of people in Times Square. She's like, it's the only time it's shut down.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
It's going to be really exciting.
Jared, what's new with you?
Oh, well, I'm getting back into running.
You got denied New York.
I did.
Loser.
Yeah, apparently the marathon. 232 isn't good enough to get into the, 24 to 29?
Nah, dude, it's NYC, man.
I know, yeah. So
yeah, it took 23 minutes to get in on time.
More fuel to the fire, so
and
you know, be back.
I think it's a rare year because last year I think it was 13 minutes. And it was a rare year with it being crazy because I heard that they upped the amount of charity spots. And that's why it was so low. But because I think it's the 50th anniversary.
I heard they did
that's
it.
Still
just,
pretty sweet.
Just to screw over Jared.
Ah, yeah. Dude, it was just for me.
Well, but I think it was probably poor coaching, right?
Whoa. Oh, my gosh. I took a little bit of time off, but I'm getting back into the training, and you know, I'm able to train outside now because it's beautiful. Beautiful out. You know, today's actually 70, and you know, March, it March 6th or whatever. So yeah, I mean, this is
64 degrees.
Yeah. Oh well, I was
close. Time to rip it, dude. It's time to rip it and get going.
So yeah. Just gonna get into shape so I can get into better shape this summer for Berlin.
You have Berlin. What else are you running?
You know, probably just like July 4th and adult track night, and you know, might do like the Shawshank Hustle.
Are
again.
You doing the North Canton July 4th?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's the
are
best
we
one.
Doing a 4x4 relay at adult track night again?
Dude, we might as well, man. Yeah. I'm popping in that mile again. I gotta get on 420 or 525.
We gotta break four. We got to break four in that 4x4.
I think.
Hey, I was the only one to get under 60.
I was not.
Dude, my neck was rigging coming down that straightaway. The photos are hilarious.
Yeah, I'm down with that 4x4.
Yeah.
How about the 4x8?
Well, no, because then we're all going to be tired and then we won't be able to run a fast 4x4.
And I will have come off doing Mohican Marathon down. Mohegan.
So
have
you're gonna be training. Slow as shit, is what you're saying?
Probably, yeah, yeah. But we'll do it.
Yeah.
When is adult track night?
Friday. It's June 19th or something like that.
Oh, it is.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Oh, it's later on in June.
No, it's not. I'm wrong. It's
I thought it was the week after Mohegan.
I have it down.
Because Mohegan's May 31st.
It's,
for some reason, the 16th was 12th. Coming up. Oh, okay.
Oh, shit. So that's 2 weeks after Mohegan.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I'll be fast.
He'll be well rested.
I thought it was, dude, that calendar is a game changer because apparently I stink at like.
What calendar?
On your phone.
Oh, the widget?
Because how I messed up Bigfoot and I put it in the week after Bigfoot. In December, and then apparently I was ready to go the week after Mohegan for adult track night. I need to get on it.
This is Skylight, and then it uses it's like
do you have a board at home?
Yeah,
is it nice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was thinking about getting that.
And then when you get that, then you can get the widget for your phone, and then you can put enter things in for your phone. But we have to do it because we have like so many moving parts.
What is a widget?
A widget is this. It's just all that is just your home screen is.
Okay.
Just now
okay.
that.
Just that. Okay.
Yeah. So it's basically a larger. It's like the app is partially opened and exposed on your home screen.
I don't know. I bet you that would save a lot of arguments in my household.
Dude, just buy it for Mother's Day for.
You can get it at Costco.
Oh.
Yeah.
Seriously, buy it for Mother's Day and then that'll be. It's such a good move.
How big is it?
Well, you can get any size. You can get, you know, size of the computer. You can get them larger. And then what's nice is you can have them so that they just scroll photos through, like randomly. And then the kids like love it. It's like literally the main form of entertainment at our house. It's like the photos just keep streaming through. And then if you click on it, and then it'll like show you the calendar.
Jared, are you trying to hold back a laugh over there?
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
What are you thinking of?
Nothing.
Oh, man. Inside the head of Jared.
This is open form right now. Let it rip, dude.
I know. Well, I was looking at your sweat, your swag. Your swag there. And it says, you know, it's Disney. And I was like, well, what about Dapney? You know?
Dude, that goes through your head probably once or twice a week.
He really did not want to say that.
No.
God. What about Disney? No, what about Batney?
God.
That actually is a good one. That's one of the better Jared ones.
Yeah. He's got good ones.
Yeah, I think I when New York signing up came around, I would encourage anybody and everybody to sign up because that is a marathon that I think everybody should do. And if you're going to do any marathon, try to you know, swing for the fences and try to do New York. However, just be alarmed that if you do New York as your first marathon, you will be disappointed in almost every marathon after that.
Is it that good?
It's just so good.
Yeah.
The farther removed I am from it, the more I appreciate that experience. And I would say Valencia is probably number two and my second favorite marathon ever.
Dang. So New York is number one.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think of the majors, Chicago's fun and all. Boston's cool. But like Boston is might be third above Chicago in my mind. Because I just feel like Boston's a little bit more special. Like you're there and like, you know, everybody.
It's like a whole day too.
Yeah. And it's just like the history and it's just an unassuming race. Like it's not trying hard. Mm-hmm. Like you're just running through these small towns in Boston and it's like, it's just such a history thing.
Do they coordinate opening day with the Red Sox or is it just,
they historically have done that. Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty bad.
And then mile 27 is the party there. So yeah, it's kind of a cool thing. But I highly encourage everybody to do that one as well.
Wait, mile
27 is the after party for Boston.
Oh, I was confused. Okay.
Yeah, and then they like it's at Fenway and it's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to do Tokyo?
Yeah. So I'm not sure how this year's going to go out, but or get planned out, but Tokyo is hosting the World Age Group Championships. And when a major hosts that and you qualify through it, then you're just more likely to get in because you go into a smaller lottery. Well, and I don't really know exactly how it works, but I know that I qualified when I ran Cleveland a couple years ago. I qualified for the Sydney Marathon as like a guaranteed entry because I got in through the World Age Group Championships. So it would be really nice to try to rip off a fast marathon this year so that way I can get a guaranteed in. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not sure that's going to happen.
Well, you got a lot going on.
Because it takes time.
Yeah.
And training.
Matt, how's your training going?
Pretty good.
How many weeks are you into it now? Like 30?
And he's already doing 400s.
Yeah, I'm already doing 400s. I'm just waiting for this time to shine on this 4x4. No, I'm 2, 3, 12. So 13 weeks in.
I can't believe I haven't asked you like actually how it's going.
Yeah. It's got ups and downs.
For sure.
Yeah. Bike started out really, really strong.
You're training for an Ironman.
Yeah. Well, so I'm not doing an Ironman. I am doing a full triathlon. I'm doing.
You're doing an Ironman?
No. Ironman is a sanctioned race by the company Ironman. Doing what is considered an ultra marathon or ultra triathlon, which is a full Ironman distance.
They call it ultra triathlons?
Yeah, that would be the equivalent. So it's
dude, you got a witty joke with that one?
Yeah.
I was thinking of the superhero.
So I'm doing titanium triathlon, which is funny that
Titanium Man.
Yeah, I was really hoping that they were going to go for this. And I bet you that's what they were going for. And then they were like, "No, you can't do that. That's too close." But yeah.
Sounds pretty '90s too.
Yeah. So yeah, bikes start out really strong, and then I just got like really back into doing more running. So it's just kind of flip flopped around. I thought for sure I was going to be heavier on the bike and a little bit less on the run.
Considering your last triathlon experience, I say you ramp up your swimming.
Well, yes. Well, that is 100% the game plan. Actually, starting next week, I just waited for all high school sports to be done with swimming because it was just a nightmare of trying to plan like around all the clubs and stuff doing, you know.
You didn't want to get kicked in the head by some ninth grader?
No, I'm pretty sure my 10-year-old can beat me in swimming right now. So.
That's gonna be such a game changer.
I've talked to a couple of people who just said that, yeah, the pools are like completely open now at regular times.
Where is the race?
It's in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
So I assume it's a river or is it a lake?
It's a lake. I don't remember the name of the lake. It begins, I think, with an A. But
Lake A.
It's gonna be so cold. You should do some cold plunges.
Oh yeah,
that'll be wetsuit legal then.
It'll be in August, so it might actually not be wetsuit legal. Because it's a pretty small lake. I would probably think it's pretty comparable to like Lake Medina. So it might actually be too warm for a wetsuit, and then and then my Christmas present won't be used.
Did you get one for Christmas?
Yeah.
Not the ones that you bought previously.
No,
I have yet to try that on.
That is too small for me. So
it's shoved somewhere under my bed.
Yeah. Do you have to break those in?
No. Maybe, I don't know.
You should wear it under, so definitively. You should wear it underneath your work clothes.
No,
I dare you to wear one of those in the sauna.
I am so overheated as it begins in this office, but let alone doing that. But that was the freakiest thing about that race. And when I did trikely, is I had never been in a wetsuit before, and like overheating in the water is an actual thing, and it is incredibly panic inducing
and probably never going to happen for me.
No, I mean, it was your body temperature is raising and there's nothing that you can do about it,
and you're panicking too.
Yeah. It was awful. So I got a sleeveless one this time to help with mobility and trying to get it over this giant
hump. Dowinger hump.
Yeah.
Matt's got his Dowinger's hump for like most 50-year-old ladies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh man. All right. So yeah, what about these half marathon championships? I know that's been a hot big topic.
I mean, local organizing bodies, just get your shit together. What actually happened?
The cop got hit and he just was off post.
He got hit.
Well, I don't know if the cop that was on the post got hit, but somebody got hit. There was a man down by a car. That cop left his post.
Sounds like sabotage.
And then like just happened to be the instant where the girls were coming through. And by the time the second pack came through, they had already got somebody there to show them the way.
Do you not get like a car pacer either?
I think
you do, but the car went the wrong way.
Yeah,
the lead vehicle went the wrong way.
From what I read was that they have a full marathon the next day. And so the bike was turning where the full marathon would turn the next day. And that's why they made that turn.
Yeah, the men's race was fine because they had a lead vehicle. Women's, the second pack, by the time they got there, so which would have been 4, 5, 6. By the time they got there, they had already had somebody back at that station.
Jeez.
So it's really unfortunate.
Doesn't make any sense.
If you think about how many events Atlanta Track Club has put on, you know, they've have Peachtree, they've hosted the trials, and almost every time Peachtree is there, it's a US championship, and they've never really had any issues. Like, this is really an anomaly.
Yeah, it seems.
And then everybody gets mad at USATF, and trust me, they have their issues, and Matt and I know about it very, you know, when you work with them directly, you know what they're good at and what they're not good at. And they appeal to the local organizing committee. It's not their role.
Yeah.
Like it was in the hands of the Atlanta Track Club. So people get all mad at USATF for this. And it's like, look, they have in their bylaws, like they have an account for this kind of stuff. And then luckily Atlanta Track Club stepped up and paid everybody adequately. And looks like some of the top girls that did actually run the course correctly and got the actual 1, 2, 3, not the one that should have won. But it looks like they're going to give up their, if they get nominated for the World Road Racing Championships, it looks like they're going to back down and just give it to the other girls, which is the right thing to do.
I saw the letter from Max Siegel, and he was saying, the one unfortunate thing is like world ranking.
Yeah.
So will they even get in off of world ranking? The girls that.
Right. So they have a point system and that whole thing. And it's, yeah, I don't know. It's tricky. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more complicated to select a road racing team versus if you're in Olympic trials, you know, you just kind of finish 1, 2, 3. And if you get the standard, you're in. Road racing is different because you can't compare a 10K, you know, in Bermuda to a 10K in the US because you don't know if the weather is the same, if the hills are the same. So it's not standard like a track. So you have to go off rankings and points and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this definitely throws a wrench into it.
Mm. Well, Good thing it's a competitive year, but not a super competitive year.
Yeah. Well, I'm selected as a alternate for that team. It's in Copenhagen, which would be really cool to go to.
Copenhagen's awesome.
Oh, wow.
So much fun there.
I've not been.
Oh, it's fun. It's a good time. They have a like an amusement park in the middle of the city, in the city center.
Hmm.
So you can go ride roller coasters and do all sorts of fun stuff.
They're the
Tivoli, I think it's called.
What, the happiest people on the planet, I think?
I would imagine. So that place was awesome. They also have beer kiosks like randomly around the city that you can just go grab a beer and go walk around. I mean, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, Europe does a lot of things right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know that. I feel like Atlanta Track Club did a great job when we were at the trials. And there was absolutely no issues, and all the athletes loved it. So I appreciate them coming up and paying the athletes adequately and making sure everybody feels like the situation has been righted. It's just unfortunate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, what all can you do in that situation, you know, besides just
rerun the race?
No, I mean, that makes the most sense. But
line them up at the point where they diverged off and repeat that last 4 miles.
Reproduce
stretch.
Their fatigue levels.
Yes. Pre-run on the treadmill.
Beat their legs with baseball bats. And then
Yeah, and that's just the thing. Is like you cannot state like they for sure would have just gone like 1, 2, 3. Like you just can't. Mm. It's especially being 2 miles out.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe if you were like half mile out, you could state that, especially with that big of a minute gap, but you just can't say that 2 miles out.
So they were a minute. So from the second pack to the first cap,
it was about a minute.
It was about a minute. Yeah. Yeah. You can't. Yeah.
You just never know. I mean, that's still potentially doable.
Yeah.
And somebody gets a hamstring pull, somebody cramps, somebody, I don't know, like anything can happen. Just kind of rigs up a little bit.
In your experience with that, how would you think that that would affect races that are sanctioned by, or not sanctioned, but like run by Atlantic Track?
Well, that's kind of my point. I was talking with an athlete about this who is at that caliber, and she's like, "Oh, they're probably not going to get a lot of events moving forward." And I'm like, I actually kind of disagree because of their track record of doing so well. And there might be a little bit of hate for a year or two, but they'll kind of just get everything back. Cause it is one of the better track organizations in the United States. So they do a lot for the sport, and I don't think we need to penalize them long-term, because I don't think it was literally just a series of unfortunate events. And I think they'll only just take this and improve upon it, and just maybe just realize that at major intersections you might have to have two people there that are, you know, kind of directing the situation, and rather than just one. I don't know, like, but there's easy fixes for something like that.
What other group has been around longer than them? Hansen?
Yeah. Oh wait, they've been way longer than Hansen's.
Atlanta has. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not to this caliber, but they were around. They've been around for a long, long time.
So they got to be one of the more established.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know this to be true, but I think they're way back into the Florida Track Club days, like in the 60s and 70s.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real organization.
Yeah.
And they definitely have poured a lot more money into it in terms of like having a competitive team recently. When I was there running for them, the competitive team was good, but we by no means would be like national class. You know, we might have an athlete or two that was really, really good, but, they're getting people, some of the best athletes, to move to Atlanta to train. And that was not the case when I was there. Yeah, so I mean, they've turned a corner real quick.
I saw 7 people that are training down in Atlanta.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a decent organization. Rich is a good guy and he's going to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Jared, what do you got to say?
Not really a whole lot about that. I just saw it on Instagram and thought, wow, that's unfortunate, but you know, I don't really have a strong stance on it. I think that the people that won the race, finished first, second, and third, like obviously they probably wouldn't have won in any other situation. So the people that needed to be paid for who were going to win it, you know, but you can't make that you can't make that judgment call.
Yeah. And it's also frustrating when people are like, oh, you should know the course. And it's like, Anybody that said it's like tell me you're a runner or tell me you're not a runner without telling me you're not a runner. It's like,
yeah,
if you make a statement like that, like you're basically saying you've never been in a race, yeah, and you've never hurt like that.
Right.
11 miles into a US championship half marathon, you're trying to literally survive. Like you're being strangled. You have your legs are filled with acid. Well, it's pain.
You're trying to also like listen to the other runners around you to like get clues on how they're feeling,
yeah,
their breathing, their foot strikes and everything. Cause if all of a sudden one of the athletes starts breathing heavily, you're going to push it because you know that they're hurting so much more. And then you're just going to try and mentally break them.
Yeah. You don't need to be focusing on left or right. Or it's not like you're running your local route that you can run in your sleep. No, and
I mean, I've run the Night Glow run like 14 times and I still probably would mess up. it hasn't changed.
That's a Jackson race?
It's a Jackson race. It's usually the last weekend of June. So
I'm going to keep that on the calendar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's a fun race.
It is a fun race.
Yeah. Well,
until you're going back into the park and you just get hit in the face with all that fair food smell and you're like, oh God,
those fries.
Those elephant ears, dude. Oh, that just stays in your nostrils for a day.
Corn dogs.
Yeah.
Is that yours?
Oh yeah.
Are you a ketchup or honey mustard type guy?
Plain.
Oh, boo.
Wow. Plain?
Yeah. Like
regular corn dogs or spicy corn dogs?
Regular.
I like mine with honey.
Mm. Okay. I can see that. Yeah. I can see where that's good. Not that it's like your personality would say that that would be what you would choose. Yeah. But
there's no way.
What you just said, Jared, about what you like is your personality.
Yeah. 100%. Straight shooter, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you a dip it in tomato soup kind of guy with the grilled cheese?
Yes, actually. I can get behind that. Yeah.
Right.
But they have to be separate, you know.
What do you mean by that?
You know, not just like have it served in the same. I mean, not that it.
You don't want your grilled cheese in your soup,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Most people don't. Yeah.
You like to dip it yourself.
I like my dipping mechanisms. Other than I don't want my chef to dip my stuff.
Why do they do fair food at races? That makes no sense to me.
Just for the spectators.
You know the. The local chamber of commerce just thinks that's what everybody wants.
Yeah. Like, what a torturous thing. Well,
to be fair, the Jackson Fair started first, and then we added the Night Glow run to it. So it just happens that they follow along the same.
But why does Boardman Invitational and Regionals do fair food?
Dude, those fair
right
fries,
at the finish line, too.
Those fair fries and those cheese pizza slices.
Yeah. And the thing is, they're just attracting all these birds and everything.
Actually, why has anyone never sabotaged the race by throwing fair food like by
right at the finish line?
Pack of birds.
So yeah, somebody that's never really been to a race and throws their half-eaten hamburger on the course.
Getting hit with that patty.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Dude, outdoor track's about to start. It's exciting. I'm very excited.
Yeah, and I'm bummed. I
indoor right, states today.
Right now, it's going on.
Is Joelle running?
Speak for the state of Ohio, not for indoor.
No, she took a break.
Yeah, just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, has she decided where she's going to school? Or are you gonna get her on podcast to announce that?
She's still considering West Point.
Is she? Sweet.
So their official signing day is coming up soon, and then yeah, go from there. But yeah, you know, I think these kids with indoor are just getting a little too zealous. Mm-hmm. And you know, anytime you let a kid compete early in a season, like in December, January, it's like really hard for them to understand that like it's going to be past Memorial Day that you're trying to peak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a great thing to get your competitive juices flowing too early.
Right.
Especially because you don't know really how to like parse that out.
Right.
And you know, run a decently fast mile and then just kind of look at it through the microcosm of it being just indoor. Everybody says it, but yet you see them just going willy-nilly crazy.
Right.
So, you know, just hopefully everybody just figures that out and has a decent outdoor season.
I was happy I never really ran indoor in high school. Yeah. It was always kind of intimidating though, because like the real good guys would like the Cleveland Heights guys would run it. And those guys were like our competition back in the day. And Jared Hall would run like 155 or oh my gosh, I forget his name, but he was on Cleveland Heights, but he was like, Quincy Downing from Glenville, he was running like super, and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I just been running easy all summer or all.
I know whenever a kid comes in injured and indoor, I'm like, dude, back in my day, we started training in March and we still ran fast by June. So like, don't get too stressed.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
I mean, it like matters, but doesn't matter. Like I get like,
maybe now because it is different. People are more specialized and, you know, private coaches and.
Well, it's hard to unknow something if you're like, if you're acutely aware on Strava, what your competitors are doing, it's hard to just sit around and not do anything like, and let that be, you know, you just want to get out there and get at it as well. But then that becomes an arms race where, you know, the injury rates go up and people get burned out. And then next thing you know, like it's really only the truly mentally mature athletes that excel in outdoor.
Right.
I don't know if it's that way when you go to like states like Florida and Texas, because their season starts way earlier in the year and it ends way earlier. So they wouldn't really do much indoor.
Have they started outdoor, you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think the Texas state championship's like in early May.
Jeez.
Hmm. Yeah. Which makes sense. Cause it's so darn hot, you know, by that point.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Cool.
Much different.
Any other topics we want to cover? And we kind of just brought everybody up to speed on the running world and all that.
No.
I'm
all out.
We are now doing episodes every 2 weeks and releasing them not every week, but every 2 weeks. And it's mainly for the point that I just don't have enough time to do them every week right now. We'll get back to it eventually, but we are opening a second location in about a month down in Canton. And then there's just a lot of random things, like, you know, I'm managing the part of the medical team for the U20 World Champs and then running the speed project at the end of the month.
That's
which is
be,
crazy.
Yeah, you bring that up. What the hell is that?
Yeah, so that's a crazy thing. So the speed project, so I'm not actually running it. I'm working it. I'm part of the support team. But basically, it's a unsanctioned underground race that you really can't sign up for. You have to be invited. And then it runs from the Santa Monica Pier to the Las Vegas sign. And as the crow flies, you're like talking 280-ish miles. And you can run any route you want. You just can't take the highway. And six members, and there's three males, three females. You can run it other ways if you want, but you can't. You're not eligible for winning if you don't do it that way. And then you can literally break it up how you want. And this is actually kind of fascinating. So we talked with this guy on Monday, Peter Bromka, who is, he's been part of a couple championship teams with the Speed Project. And usually this event, you have to be invited. Like this guy, Nils, has to like know who you are and you got to be, have sort of an in and have met somebody along the way. And it's just tricky how it works. I still haven't quite figured all that out. But long story short, like a lot of like shoe companies would put together like really high profile teams. And there's some documentaries. You can go to YouTube and watch some documentaries on it. Well, for our team, Arc'teryx is paying for a full-length documentary. And so...
With your team.
We're going to have cameramen with us. And,
oh, wow.
And there's the whole problem of, like, what route do you take? And then because it's unsanctioned, you can change up the legs how you want. You can have an athlete run 100 miles, and you can have the rest of the five athletes run 200 miles. You can run any way you want to do it. However, what's interesting is Peter was talking about like the current strategy of winning this, and people are talking about like they'll do 3 minutes on or like 2 to 4 minutes on and 2 to 4 minutes off. And so like what he was saying is like the current strategy of a lot of the really fast runners is, because there's just all this stuff about like, do you go north of LA, south of LA? So that's like one conversation point. Do you go into what's called the power lines, which is like the most direct route from like this town called Barstow, which is just over the Angeles National Forest outside of Los Angeles to Las Vegas. And if you do that, then you can take this. If you do the most direct route, there's Powerline Road, which is basically this like service road that Powerline companies have like maintained. And it's like kind of hard to run through, but also it's the most direct route. So like how much of it's on Powerline Road, how much of it's on the normal route, quote unquote. And then also the strategy has shifted. They do these really fast intervals. So basically those break it up into two teams of three, and they'll have like three runners go, like, for instance, 3 minutes on, 6 minutes off, 3 minutes on, 6 minutes off. And then it's like very helter skelter for the drivers to do that, because basically chaotic. You're driving about 1,000 meters per runner, and they're hauling during this. Because basically, if you think about it, if you break that up for the 300 miles, which is a crazy amount of drop off and starts, if you break it up over 300 miles, you have a large portion of that event that you've run in max VO2 versus if you just ran like 5 to 6 mile legs or even 10 mile legs, like a lot of people just intuitively would do. Well, you're running markedly slower per leg, and so you don't get that interval aspect. And then they would cycle through every like 20 to 30 minutes to the next three person group. And it's crazy. Wow. And these people got there and were like 5 minute pace on these like K intervals, for essentially. Sure. So it's pretty wild. And obviously they slow up by the time, cause you know, it'll take them, anybody, if you run it like 6 minute pace, and that takes 30 hours, obviously just under 30 hours. So pretty crazy. So that's the speed project.
That's going to be so much fun.
How do you think our, really cool. Cheeky monkey team would do.
Oh, dude, we would leave a couple ligaments out on the course.
No, we would. We're gonna be in so much better shape.
So I really wish I was running it.
It's gonna be fun though.
But
are you guys gonna get gear?
I have no idea. But I know everything is paid for. So like
through them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah.
Through Arc'teryx, yeah.
Might have to go to REI and grab some stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. But there's a whole process to it all. Like it's
way
whole
more
underbelly of running. I mean, there's like 40 teams that do it, and it's just this whole world.
But you don't start at the same time, right?
You do, yeah.
You all start at the same time,
right? Wow. At the Santa Monica Pier at 4 a.m. on Friday.
How much parkour will happen? People jumping over backyard fences.
Well, that's the thing. If you're going to do the 3 minute intervals, how the hell do you do that through L.A.? Like, that's what we were wondering. Like, I mean, you're in the middle of like LA, which is like the most traffic congested city in the US.
So just account for that and have some grace.
It's wild, but that's the route, or that's partly what we're trying to figure out, is how we're going to break up those intervals. So, but yeah, that's the speed project.
Does everybody have to at least run one time?
I don't know the stipulation. There are stipulations of it, but I don't know. I don't know how that works. I think so. I know you obviously can't throw new runners in. And I think every runner does have to be represented at one point. And that's the other point too, about the faster intervals, is that if you think about it, if like you're going to run 5 minute lay or 5 mile legs, then your slowest runner will tack on substantially more time. But if they only run a three minute leg, mm-hmm. Well, they might not get to 1,000 meters. They might only get to like 900 meters. Mm-hmm. But that's, you're going to nullify the lowest, mm-hmm. you know, the weakest link, essentially. Like it protects you a bit from that.
Yeah.
And that's the other hidden variable, is that you may, you know, like a team's just going to have a slow runner, and that's just the way it is. And then this is the easiest way to nullify that.
That's pretty wild. That after party's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and they do like a whole run on the strip and everything after. And
oh wow.
Yeah. To finish, you have to like take a photo and like snap it, and then you have to like run in with champagne bottles and all that stuff. Like, there's a whole process to the finish of this that I'm not completely familiar with. I'll of course do an episode on that when we come to it.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about that. That's gonna be fun.
Well, what do you guys say? Wrap up another episode?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening. And feel free to reach out if you guys have any requests on topics for us to hit up, because we definitely want to get back going to on some hard sciencey topics. I know Jared's been dying to get back on the saddle for that one. And thank you guys for listening to another great episode. Dr. Leo here. If you want to catch me in another setting, be sure to check out my YouTube page, Running Rehab, where you will find exercises on how to stay healthy with running, how to improve your running form, and a bunch of other tips and tricks on how to get over common injuries. Dr. Leo here. Be sure to check out my new book, Faster Without Fail, Your Guide to Overcoming Injuries and Running Faster Than Ever. It is now available on Amazon. You could read reviews on the Amazon. You can check out what other people have said about it. But basically, if you want to revolutionize your running form and better understand how to stay injury-free within the sport, this is your guide. Feel free to reach out and let us know what you think of the book. I would love to hear your feedback. But again, please check it out on Amazon. Faster Without Fail. Appreciate it.